This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, a look back at one of the longest education strikes in American history here in Wisconsin.
First, a jury returned a guilty verdict yesterday at the trial of Jakar Tsarnaev, the surviving Boston Marathon bomber.
The jury heard from 95 witnesses over 16 days and found Tsarnaev guilty on all 30 charges, 17 of which could send him to death row in this federal case.
Joining us now with a look back at the trial and what could happen next is Jennifer Levitz. She's been covering the Tsarnaev trial for the Wall Street Journal. Jennifer, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Well, it took more than 20 minutes yesterday for the jury to announce its verdict in its entirety. What was the scene like yesterday as they read through that decision?
Well, it was there was a lot of tension at the courthouse. They'd been deliberating for about 11 hours, and some people were thinking, you know, why are they taking so long? Because he admitted he did it, but they did have 30 charges to go through, and then each of those had subcounts. And we went into the courtroom, and there were families there. There were survivors. There's people there who've lost legs and they're on prosthetic legs. And so the clerk said right away that for everyone to contain their emotions when they came out. And Jakar Tsarnaev came out and sort of sat between his lawyers, and they kind of patted his back as they've been doing through the trial. And then they read it. And what was so surprising, as you said, it was every single count. And I guess it was surprising because there was these little there was counts underneath them, subcounts, and it was just one guilty after another, and it took about 25 minutes, and people were just stone-faced looking at him for any kind of emotion. And then after we stood up and left, and I saw the youngest victim, Martin Richard, just linger in her row and look over at Jakar Tsarnaev and wipe tears away, and her husband was kind of rubbing her back, and it was very emotional.
As you said, the culpability of Tsarnaev wasn't at issue here. So, what kind of portrait did the defense try to paint of him?
Their strategy was to just admit that he did it. They flat out admitted that he walked down the street and put a bomb near the finish line while his brother put another one nearby. They admitted that he was with his brother when a police officer was shot, that he was with his brother when the carjacking occurred, that he was part of a police shootout and hurled explosives at police. But their whole strategy was that to say that he was coerced by his older brother, Tamerlan, who died 4 days after the bombings. And Tamerlan was 26, while at the time, Jakar was 19. So the message was that this is an adolescent. They used that word a lot. He was a teenager. And that he was sort of under the thumb of this controlling, strict older brother, who really was the real radical who had introduced his younger brother to these extremist writings and had really been the mastermind and the main mover behind this whole plot.
You said during the reading of the verdict, people were watching Tsarnaev closely for any emotion. Was there any emotion? What was his demeanor like?
No, he has betrayed no emotion throughout this whole trial, which has been frustrating to some of the observers. He comes in. He would come in every day. He's dressed in a suit. He does chat with his lawyers, but he never would look at the courtroom. And during the proceedings, he's usually looking down. And yesterday, again, he was sort of looking down at the paperwork, which is probably the jury verdict. Sort of fidgeting. He fidgets a lot, but nothing shows on his face. We haven't seen anything like that yet, and so it's a big question as to whether we might see that in the upcoming phase.
The trial took over 16 days, and it sounds like a lot of that was really wrenching testimony that came from witnesses, that came from survivors. What kind of picture emerged of that day over the course of this trial?
The prosecution painted a picture of just an absolutely brutal attack. They showed videos. They showed photos. They had medical examiners describe in excruciating detail the way that people had died. They focused on the pain and they tried to make this as as heinous as they could, which is one of the things they need to do to get the death penalty. So they had, they wanted to know how long it took people to bleed out. Were they conscious? Were they in pain? They showed you videos where you could hear people screaming. It was absolutely brutal and wrenching to see for anyone, and I can just imagine for the family members. But I think the government, in the government's view, they had to do that. They really had to show the carnage in fully.
We're talking about the verdict in the Boston Marathon bombers trial, which was reached yesterday, with Jennifer Levitz from the Wall Street Journal. And Jennifer, this is a federal case, so the death penalty is a possibility here. What comes next?
Yes, so the next phase is the penalty phase, and the same jury will reconvene, and they will decide whether to give him the death penalty or life in prison without parole. Those are the only two options. And this will be like a mini trial. It will look like a trial. The government will present witnesses, and the defense will present witnesses. But in many ways, a lot of people here feel that the real trial is now just really beginning, because in the first phase, his culpability was not in dispute. And there's a lot more uncertainty now. And so we're really going to see a lot more about him. We didn't learn a lot about who he was as a person prior to the bombings in this trial. And that's probably what we're going to start to see now, because the defense is going to want to give some reason why they should keep him alive. And the decision has to be unanimous. So they really have to convince one person on that jury that he should not be put to death.
And it's worth pointing out here that Tsarnaev's defense lawyer is Judy Clark, the lead attorney, and she successfully defended the Unabomber and Gabrielle Giffords' attacker. How significant is that? Is her role here?
She is. It's very significant. She's known for the ability to humanize her clients for the jury. She defended Susan Smith, the mother who was convicted in 1995 of strapping her sons in the car and drowning them, and she saved her from the death penalty it was the same situation. And when they went into the sentencing phase, she brought up people from her past, showed she had been a molestation victim, and really raised a lot of sympathy. And she has an interesting strategy, because I was just reading her closing arguments, and some of it could have been written by the prosecution. She's saying this was horrific, this was the worst thing, and what we've seen, the pain we've seen. So she tries to build credibility by not making excuses for her clients. But then she's trying to say there's something more, some reason to see this as a person. So we're going to see a lot more of that.
Is there any kind of unity or emerging sense among the victims about what justice should look like in this case?
I'm not sensing any consensus at this point. A lot of them are keeping their thoughts to themselves. But I've just talked with a mother of two sons, each who lost a leg, and she, to her, justice would be the death penalty. But then I just talked with another woman who was pretty badly injured, and she thinks that life in prison would be a worse sentence. So I think there's a mix of views. And then I also just talked with a man, a doctor in Alabama, who was hurt, and he would support the death penalty, but he also just said that would just get dragged out too long. So in a way, he doesn't think that would be the best answer either.
Now, Boston has a strong Roman Catholic presence. Does that, do you think, make a death sentence less likely?
Well, it's interesting, because in order to get on the jury, it had to be a death-qualified jury, which means that everyone had to say that they would consider it. So if this worked right, everyone on that jury is open to the death penalty. But I do think that the idea that the death penalty is really not part of the DNA of the state does affect things, because you say you might consider it, but what do you bring to that? What's your background, and how how bad does it have to be for you to consider it? I mean, interestingly, we had WBUR here, the NPR station in Boston, did a poll in March, which found that of Boston registered voters, only 27% said he should receive the death penalty. And what was striking about this poll was taken after the start of the trial, when some of the most devastating testimony had been given about the 8-year-old boy and that day. And so I think it does. It's not part of the. It's not popular here.
Jennifer, we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Jennifer Levis has been covering the Tsarnaev trial for The Wall Street Journal.